Welcome everybody to the August 19th, 2024 Berkshire County Board of Commissioners meeting. We have a call to order and I would like to have invocation done by Mr. Balance if possible.
Okay, let's pray everyone. Well, Heavenly Father, we come first of all saying thank you. Thank you for allowing us to see a day that we've never seen. We ask now that you come and rest in this meeting, God. Give us wisdom and knowledge that we can conduct ourselves in an orderly fashion that will benefit citizens of Berkshire County. We thank you for all parties involved. Give you glory and honor now in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay.
Public comment.
I know where I'm at.
I'm talking about Robbins.
I didn't even notice her walking up there. I was looking there. Thank you. Public comments, 3 minute public comments.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
My name is Stephanie Bell. I live in Maryhill Township. I work at DSS in Windsor. I'm here because just wanted to talk about my 28 years that I worked for the county. Now I'm on leave without pay because of the fact that my son has been in the hospital now since June the 10th. He's had extended surgeries. I was asked by my supervisor if I would be mentally able to work from home. When I said yes, it seemed like it's just a runaround about me working from home. The job that I do, I can't work from home because other counties are working from home. I'm doing the same job that I do. So it's just been, now I'm on leave without pay since July the 26th. Because my FMLA ended, because he was going back and forth to the doctor from March until June the 10th. Each time that he went back, we came back home. I came back to work. I worked for the county 28 years, never have owed the county from my position a dime. I mean, I've never asked the county for anything, none of that. Only thing I've asked was to work from home, not for the entire 2 years that I have left for to get my 30 years. Shouldn't have to put in my 28 years of retirement now just to work from home. I mean, just because my son is ill. I mean, I have, doctor actually wrote a note for everybody to see how extensive his surgeries and everything was so that I can work from home. He's at Duke University. We've been there again since June the 10th. He's still there. My mom, will be 76 years old next week, went there to stay with him so that I can come here today, because I've been staying with him the whole time. And there, looking in the other rooms, other people are home working. They're working from home. And I still have my bills to pay. I mean, even though I'm on leave without pay, I still have bills to pay. 28 years working for the county consistently. I mean, it should be account for something for me to work from home. I'm here advocating for everybody to at least put something in place for situations like this. And I know that situations in this county have happened where other department heads have allowed their worker to work from home during that duration of, you know, their child being sick or someone being pregnant, can't come to work. I know these two situations to be for sure. So what I'm asking is to allow me to work from home for a little while until he can actually get home and just be able to do things on his own. And if people would, you know, just sit back and just think about their own situation, because I would have never thought in a million years that my son would have went in this position, never. And, you know, it's really hard for me to be up here standing even talking about it, because it was so extensive to the point where he was just down, you know, and regardless if you have a disabled child or not, still, you just don't know what your situation may be the next day, because I never thought that. So, again, I'm just here just trying to see to just advocate for me to work from home until he can actually get back to his normal self.
Okay.
I guess my 3 minutes should be up by now. But anyway,
yes, ma'am.
I have. If you want a copy of
county manager, has anybody had any discussion with the social service director in reference to the situation?
Yes, I have, and Ms. Bell is aware. I've spoken with Director Little, Daphne Little, and she's in the process of putting something together recommending a work from home plan for her department.
Okay.
And so I will be in communication with her, and we'll get back with you.
Thank you, sir. Okay.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, Ms. Robin.
Morning, everyone.
Morning.
All right, so just a refresher. On April 8th, the commissioners passed or established the occupancy tax, the vacation tax at 6% of nursing home. And the next step after that was to create a tourism development authority. We've been working on that tourism development comprised of. And I'm looking at the resolution. We're asking you to adopt and briefly what the TDA would be made of is six members. Two members voting from the lodging industry, and that means an Airbnb, a VRBO, rental cottage, hotel, a cabin. Three members who would be voting involved with tourism promotion, and that could be from a downtown, nature-based education and exploration organization, an arts and music organization, nature-based businesses such as but not limited to hunting, kayaking, hiking, horseback riding, camping. One member voting from Bertie County Chamber of Commerce. One ex officio member non-voting Bertie County Finance Officer. And one ex officio non-voting Bertie County Commissioner. Also within this PDA is establishing a penalty for failure to pay. These are consistent with the North Carolina rules and what other counties are following. This TDA was reviewed for resolution, was developed and reviewed by Jelen Strategy, who's been working with us. They're occupancy tax professionals in the state. And then Mr. Huddleston has had that.
I got a couple of questions.
And I'll address this one if you get down with Mr. Stuff.
It may be something that you're already looking at anyhow, but a couple of things I've got is number one, that I think an example has to be written in here, even though we've got the North Carolina General Statutes, okay? And as a lot of people know, the general statutes can be interpreted two different ways sometimes. And then it becomes a legal battle and things of that nature. I mean, I've seen it in the past being in construction and things of that nature. But one thing that I look at is that you have people that come in and lease a piece of property. Okay. Hypothetically, they'll lease 100 acres that may have a cabin on it, but they're leasing it year round to hunt, fish, and do that. In my personal opinion, if there's somehow to put that or an example of something of this nature so it doesn't get broken out or all of a sudden we create an issue for a leaser, okay, and a lessee to accidentally fall under this, okay, then I think it needs to be simplified and stated. that someone that has a long-term lease and not a daily lease or a weekly lease, okay? A long-term lease, which would be a year's lease, some of that nature, however, you know, that then it should be that way. That way there's no question in people's minds of what it is. I mean, there are hunt and guide services out there that lease by the day, by the week, and, you know, they would fall under the occupancy tax. But there are people that come in and lease 1,000 acres or 500 acres that they're there all year long. They have a right to be there, and so that they don't fall under this occupancy tax.
Okay. Add that in. I don't think we can add proper terminology right now.
Something simplistic that people understand. That's the biggest questions I've had with different people. And, but that doesn't mean we can't pass it with the added verbiage that we just talked about. Mr. Attorney?
Yes, sir. I got this while I was on vacation last week, so I haven't had a lot of time to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
I will say I've read it. I've looked at the statutes. I've confirmed the first whereas that is correct. The Senate Bill 154 authorizes Bertie County to create a taxing district.
Yeah.
That's Rob pointed out to me that was a recent change from an earlier version that I got last week, and that's a good change. Like I said, I've looked at that Senate bill and confirmed that in 23 that was passed by both the House and the Senate, giving Bertie County that authority. So that was the key thing. And then the other thing actually kind of combines with something Juan mentioned to me right before the meeting, and that is the membership, how it's determined. And the Senate bill says exactly what's stated in the resolution, which is that one-third of the membership, 2 points, one-third of the membership will be individuals who are affiliated with businesses that collect the tax, and then one-half of the membership will be individuals who are currently working in the promotion of travel and tourism in the district. So my 2 points is, number one, and I'll give credit to Juan to this, is that if we're going to have six members, number one, do you want to have an odd number in case there's a tie? That's something Juan mentioned. And the other thing that I'm thinking of is that there's like eight, and then maybe this is a question for Robin, there's eight members identified here, two from this, three from that, one, that's three, four, five, six, that's eight members. So is one, so then you got to come back up to the top, is one-third of eight, of that eight, is one-third of them affiliated, is at least one-third of them affiliated with the businesses that collect taxes?
As I read it, and it was explained to us, it was the voting. So the membership of the
voting. Oh, I see, yeah.
So that's six.
And the two at the bottom are non-voting.
Yeah, it's one-third of six.
Two of six is one-third, exactly. And then, okay, you answered my question then. Then one-half have to be in the promotion of travel, and then three of six is half. So you've met those two requirements. Okay. So that just to, I'm satisfied on that. The question then that remains is, do you want to have an even number? And the thing is, I told Juan I would look real quick, and the resolution, the legislation that enabled Bertie County to do this, doesn't say exactly how many you have to have. It just says that no matter how many you have, at least one third have to be collected with businesses of the type that collect the tax, and one half have to be, you know, have to meet those requirements. So if you wanted an odd number and you're going to add one.
Or take away one. We originally
or take away one, exactly.
Well, let me ask a question real quick. Since we could have a tie vote, as you brought up, has it ever been where it would come back to the Board of County Commissioners to make the final vote on it? Or do you just want to add one more person somewhere?
Well, we originally had it the six voting members and then the county finance officer. And then a position for a county commissioner was added, but that typically is not in there. So that brought it to an even.
Did you let the county commissioner cast the tie?
I really think you should have board input. If it's that important and it's a tie vote 3-3, then I think the board needs to weigh in, not just one county commissioner.
Well, in the three-member section involved in tourism promotion,
you can't take one of those out. So
we do four members. Right now, we don't have a lot of hotel motel, but we have a lot of organizations that are involved in the travel and tourism industry. And organizations that are beginning to become more involved in travel and tourism industry. So can we do two members, keep that the same for lodging industry, and move to four members?
Problem with that is that you're going to dilute, you're going to drop your one-third being like,
oh, right.
They're going to be less, going to be less than one-third then.
Right.
Yeah. We'd be chasing our tail, I think.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
I suggest that this resolution be put back on the next month meeting, giving everybody opportunity to work out all the differences. Right now we're not ready to vote. You had some verbal suggestions in reference to lease amount in large acres, and you also probably need to include a person can't sublease in that a tools agreement as well. But I think at this point in time, we're not ready to vote on that. I think we need to be some more study. Our attorney has not had the opportunity really to take a deep, to dive into it and take a real deep look. So thank you for your time.
So, well, here's this. I'm good with putting it next time. But all you have to do is just drop your six members to five members, two, two, and one. Two members from lodging, two members from tourism, one member from Chamber of Commerce. You still meet all of your requirements. That's not your odd number to vote. I mean, that's something we can fix real quick.
Yeah, this can be fixed real quick, but also the county commissioner, if there's a tie vote, need to be involved as far as that.
Should or should not?
Should be.
Oh, okay.
There would be no tie, though.
But I'm just saying, if you know, keeping it at the six members, but even one or four members, if they want to go there, if there is a tie vote, then it should come back towards the county commissioner because they're the ones that put the tax in place.
Okay, so the tourism development committee can get back together
and present next month. Thank you.
I'll take a look and see if the statute allows the county commissioners to step in and break the tie because I'll have to look at that. I understand your reasoning for it.
Yep.
It's maybe an important enough issue that this board would like to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I just got to make sure you can. And then, Commissioner White, if you said two, two, and one, mm-hmm. is that what you said? You so basically take one away from the three group?
Mm-hmm. Yes, you can take one away from the three group.
But then, would that then make them less than half?
No, yeah, because it'd be less than 40%.
You need to bring in a half member. I don't want to be there when you do that.
Me either.
Okay. And
so check the county commissioner report. See if it can come back.
I got a math background, but I can't think.
I did cut it from the three member. If you cut the county chamber person off, there you go. Sorry. That puts 60 and 40. Right.
And then keep in mind that
I cut the wrong person.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
12 months. There's a 12-month span after this is passed that the TDA needs to develop bylaws. So
that's I was wondering because, like, to your point about the tourism, if it's over 90 days, there's no tax on it all. So I think that is that in the bylaws or where would that be? So people could.
It's in the state statute.
Right.
State statute.
I've
read that in the state statute, but most of our people that are here in Bertie County and in other counties are not going to read the state statutes. They're going to call and ask. They're going to get misinformation. And then somebody's going to make a judgment call, maybe the wrong judgment call. But I think we just spell it out simply. Okay. In what we're writing up, and I don't think there's any reason why we can't. It's just two sentences, okay? Basically, I mean, that's what it comes down to, is really breaking it down. Long-term leases are not included in this tax. People need to understand it, and I think something needs to be in there too. Mr. Robertson's point of view, and it cannot be subleased. If subleased fits under this, then it would be taxed. That fits on that criteria. And that's the only two things we really need to cover.
Okay.
Make sure I got those two things. One is that long-term leases are accepted.
but not subleases.
Subleases that are going to fall under the criteria of a weekly lease. Because what people do is they turn around, they'll lease 1,000 acres of land, and then they will set up a hunt and guide service, which would be a weekly hunt. Okay, but they would be filing on their own, as far as how I see it. Okay, and from what I've read here, they'd be having to file tax papers at that time.
So it only applies to long term hunting leases. This exception.
I couldn't hear you. I'm sorry.
I mean, is it just hunting leases that we're looking at, or
it could be fishing leases, any of these things? I mean, if hypothetically I leased my land to Michael White, okay, for a year at a time, okay, but Mike White is the one leasing it for a year, and there may be a cabin on the piece of property, but it's not a short-term lease. But then Mike White wants to sublease it and start a guide service, okay? You see where I'm going to with this? And this is what a lot of people do. I guess I'm trying to explain the industry to you, because I used to do this at one time. But I never leased land. I had the guide service myself. But one way that'd be done so that they can't get around this is that they can't lease the land to an individual. And then the subleasee turns around and becomes the person that is doing the weekly lease. Okay. They would be responsible for that tax. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
So that was one change. And then the other one was regarding the number. To get it to an odd number, is that the
other? Or bring it back to the county commissioner, since we're the ones that set the tax up. I mean, obviously, Robin, you guys put six people in here for a reason. I don't know, you know, what the reasoning was, other than what we just talked about, but that was the deal. But as the judge said, there is no tiebreaker.
Really, when you're thinking, we're thinking long term.
Yeah,
and Ertie has a lot of travel and tourism components to it. So having more input is better. Some counties have 9, 10, 11, 13, you know, members on their TDA, so that there is a good cross representation of what's happening in the county. So if we start narrowing it down, we're not having good cross representation. So let's let the TDA group get back together.
That'd be the best.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be the best.
I think so.
Okay. Too. Thank you.
You're not done with me.
You keep going.
Keep going.
And Joe has my PDF to pull up. He's there.
No.
No, that's not. There you go.
Okay. And then you can just come over here and scroll down in that little bar.
Okay, thank you. This quick reference. So this is an update, Destination Bertie, NC Growth. Last meeting, y'all took a quick look at the different boards for downtowns and what DBD has been working with us on. We've made changes. And those are to be finished today. A lot of sidewalk changes, new parking lots. So on the left is a PDF layout, an example from Statesville. And this is just an idea of what we'll be working with NC Growth on. NC Growth is going to customize this per each downtown, you know. It's retail recruitment, brick and mortar recruitment. What buildings are available for sale? What are available for rent? Every community will have a snapshot of what their history is, and then a quick snapshot of what their plan is. You know, what are they looking towards the future on? Specifically, we want to address, okay, here's the situation, wastewater or a, you know, sidewalk or a, you know, crumbling building situation. This is how the community is addressing it. And what we'll do is PDF layout can be sent to EDPNC. I can give it to Franklin. He can post it. And then we can also put it then on the Destination Bertie website. We'll add another tab that says, you know, brick and mortar recruitment or available commercial property or something.
But we won't do that until after the layout on the left is done. You know, and then there's a lot of overlap, of course, into travel and tourism, you know. So we'll give prospective viewers, buyers, renters a snapshot on, because they'll be on the Destination Bird Tea website. They'll see what across the board is happening. So I think that people need to see that bigger picture too. It doesn't matter if they're looking for a lot of acreage to do something, or maybe they're just looking for a small retail storefront. You know, it's time to let it be known beyond just Bertie borders, North Carolina borders, what's happening. And then, this is just to get you thinking. CBD did a quick rendering of the county-owned property in Allander. This is a facade improvement. It's very simple. It's an extension of the sidewalk. But we'd like to develop some options we can talk to y'all about. Options on, yes, there are some grants that are coming down the pipe for brick and mortar renovation, but it has to be, you know, a government-owned structure. And there also has to be a plan in place for sustainability. You know, future uses are intact. We can't renovate it and then it get turned, you turn around and sell it. So we would also have to identify what community uses could go in there. Is it a grocery cooperative? Is it a this? Is it a incubator? Something? But we'd like to, we're thinking on that. And come back to you with different options that you can.
Well, make sure when you do come back that there is a sustainability plan.
Yeah.
Because I very seldom ever see any of those as far as sustainability after it's done.
Right.
Pretty building, it's a nice place, but how do we sustain it? How does it pay for itself?
Structure, but then also what entity owns it? I mean, you can do apartments up top, but you know, we'd have to, who's going to manage the apartments if they're rentals? I mean,
yeah, another thing I love is that every town have their own sitting board and they need to be engaged and have some skin in the game. You know, county officials can't go to Orlando, Merrill Hill, and just take over. That wouldn't be fair. It wouldn't be up at ethics to go in another town and try to take over where, in which they have their own sitting board and their own mayor, pro team mayor, and do things that with the county expense that the town can do themselves.
If I'm interpreting what you're saying, you're basically just throwing the ideas in front of them and let them make their decisions, correct?
Right. And I have proposed this. Okay. And, you know.
And they would be the ones that would have the skin in the game as far as putting this together, right?
They'd be a partner.
Right.
Yeah.
This is our, is this the building that we're owning? We
yes,
own.
The county
okay.
owns that
building. That's what I think she was.
That's what she's at. Coming from.
Mm-hmm.
So.
We own that building.
All right, so there, the grant possibilities coming up are November 15th through the Department of Commerce, CDBG, November 15th, and then January 8th, there's a Rural Transformation Grant, Department of Commerce. And then the School of Government Development Finance Institute can help develop a sustainability plan if, you know, you want to do something with this structure. All right. And then quick first schedule is on the 28th. Mideast is coming. I think I sent an email to everybody. They're going to, they want to learn more about what's happening in Bertie, what each municipality may need help with. Franklin will be there to talk about housing. And then September 11th to the 13th, I got a, all expenses paid pass to Great Trails State Conference. It's in Winston-Salem, but this is for trails, campgrounds, and it's a funding seminar. And then I've applied to the Rural Investment Collaborative. It's for a 4-month training from Richmond Federal Banking, and it's all about rural communities and what their available brick and mortar, you know, how do we get that in front of banks, investment folks, looking for long-term packages, you know.
And you can get back to what everybody's been talking about. We've talked about these different places, different towns and things like that. It's going to add, you know, we've been talking about revenue. Well, this is how we create revenue. And we can move forward with things like this here. And I do agree with what you're saying, Commissioner Robertson, 100%. It will create revenue that we're looking at, things of that nature. So, move forward with it. So. Yeah.
And made myself available to municipalities in how, as a capacity building consultant hired by the county, I can help towns do what they want to do. I'm also, you know, working at their pace, what their decisions are, and ensuring that they know that there's opportunities. Everybody's different. Every town is different. You know, so some are moving quicker than others, but it's because they have a different set of circumstances. So, yeah, that's it.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Blue Jay Recreational Center board update. Mr. Ronald Raska.
Okay. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for allowing me to be on the schedule here. On behalf of Blue Jay, we're planning, we've been working with a team early part of this year. Also working with Robin. We have some handouts here that show exactly what I'm talking about.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
So, our board has been planning along with Robin as one of our team members with the living history. We met with Mr. Kevin Chapman from New Jersey. And he has a team that goes around and do reenactment. So we're coming up on North Carolina 250 years. And Robin worked out a grant along with Blue Jay, which was $30,000 to help fund this project. Where we're trying to do a reenactment for the entire Indian Woods in Bertie County. Something different for the citizens to kind of like, update our history, well, know more about our history. Also, Dr. Oldis Smallwood, they're teaching this in the school about Indian Woods history. So the main thing we're doing here is this Bertie County Forgotten Black and Native Patriots and Revolutionary War. We're trying to have this on October of next year. That'll be the third, fourth weekend on that weekend. And we are asking for assistance and funding to help promote the marketing promotion part of it. We have a printout of each detail. If you look through the printout, We have a print out of each detail of where these fundings are going, such as the speaker, the living history, which is real expensive. That includes the cannon, that includes the tent setup, cooking, just like it was back when they was fighting in the Revolutionary War. But our main piece right now to get started is $10,330. We are hoping and asking if we could get half of that funding from the county. I think it, me personally, think will be great for the county, the school, and the surrounding counties. We're planning for RV parking. We're planning for also for pickup and drop off. So we're hoping this is going to be a big event for the county. Other counties are doing this as well. It's North Carolina 250 years, but we want to make it a success here in Bertie County, along with DBD, what they're doing, for as recognizing the history and the tourism of Bertie County. So I think it will be a great success. We want to move forward on it, starting as quick as we can, looking the funding to help out.
What do you need the funding by?
We actually need it. Today wouldn't be too late. I know that's not possible, but we want to get it started first, the advertising on the internet, signs, radio, all over. You know. But we talked in talking with Onyx, Mr. Waddell, which he had come down last year, and they did some filming. They've been working with Dr. Alwyn Small in the past on doing some things. This includes a website, our website, and showing what it's going to be all about for October next year.
Let me ask you this, Mr. Rasko. Have y'all solicited any businesses of that nature as sponsors? And I ask you that because someone made the first $500 donation.
Okay. Well, we haven't, and I know we haven't as of yet. I know Dr. Small is working with North Carolina Central, which he planned on getting funding on that end. And I will be doing some as well.
Do they have, and this, in your printout here, do they have where I can send a check to? Or either I can just call you in the morning and ask you to meet me. I gave you the first $500.
Okay. Well, we appreciate it. And like I said, our board members always donate. We just had our back-to-school event, and we solicited different businesses around town. We always do that. It be a success. Like this year with the back-to-school, we kind of raised over $3,000 just for that event. And we try not to burn the little locals out a whole lot, you know, but we will be soliciting again.
It was a very successful event yesterday. I was present at Daniel Woods going back to school giveaway, you know, very successful. Done a great job down there.
Yeah, thank you. But any other questions, if you all could help us out, we'll be greatly appreciated. Like I said, going to benefit the entire county. And,
it'd
be a lot of
exposure.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Okay. Economic development updates by Mr. Franklin Williams.
I just say good morning.
Good morning.
Our update, we have seven areas that given to us and to develop and to bring forward. And the first of those came from our work session. I forgot exactly when it was, but the first of that was broadband. Broadband is a necessity nowadays, and for our county, We were looking at the CAB grant, completing access to broadband grant. There have been two major shifts in this because the requirements to get the $4 million was that you had to, well, you qualified by the ARPA funds you received, and they wanted $400,000 matched to get to $4 million. But a lot of the smaller counties in our region could not afford that $400,000. So first shift was the General Assembly. The House passed a bill stating that $400,000 be waived. The Senate is stalled. But the good news is they, and it just came out, I don't know, not too long, a couple of days ago, they got a stop grant, a stopgap grant available for smaller counties that will allow us to apply for the $400,000 so that we can access the $4 million. I know it sounds crazy, but that's just government for you. So I would like to ask your permission to apply for that grant. I don't think it will be, it's not going to cost us anything. If they can, we can get $400,000, and that we're like a conduit, we take the $400,000, and then they will send us the $4 million, and all of that will go towards development of broadband in the county.
Let me interject. Now, if the $400,000 is going to be waived.
But they haven't passed that legislation yet. But in the meantime.
Okay.
You got what I'm saying?
Oh,
this is available. That's the train that's running.
Okay.
Now, Bertie County is on both lists.
Okay.
But I just need your permission to apply.
Okay.
Yeah.
We need a motion on that. Because there's no match, correct?
Correct.
Okay. There's no match. And you said, well, you don't think so. Just consensus. Okay.
All right. And so I'll get started on that immediately.
Okay.
Also, we attended a workshop with all of the major players dealing with broadband. The next step that they're really pushing is digital equity and digital inclusion. To make it simple, even though some people may have broadband, they may not have the technology to turn the broadband on, to learn how to use it, may not have the capability of knowing how to maneuver it. And so all across our region, they're coming up with what they call a digital inclusion and a digital equity plan. Our COG has started one. And I believe it's a young lady in our cooperative extension. She'll be doing the one for Bertie County. That plan is going to be necessary for the next step, which is called the B grant, Broadband Equity Access and Deployment Grant. We have to have that plan in place in order to apply for the next round of funding. So everybody's starting on it early, and we're going to be a part of that. We're on that task force. We have monthly meetings set up with the COG, everybody from the region, Bertie, Martin, just all everybody here. We just meet there, and we're going to try to hammer out a digital inclusion plan so that we'll be ready whenever the BEAD money comes, and we won't be behind. Digital inclusion, digital equity. There are also some other grants out there for that. If I see something that we qualify for, I'll ask county manager, and if he gives me the okay, I'll just go ahead on and apply for it as long as there's no match. If there's a match, then, of course, we got to bring it back here, and we'll talk it over. Item number two, our capital directed spending. Allocation. The allocation has been made from the federal government. We will be receiving $950,000 for a ladder fire truck, and we will also be receiving $1.6 million for the E911 center. The official announcement, they're trying to push it and get it ready by September 15th, and then they'll have their drawdown procedures, which are going to be ready by September 30th, because there's a special way you got to draw it down. That's Washington, D.C. for you.
All right, so we're definitely getting the money for yes, the sir. Ladder truck.
Yes, sir.
And we're definitely getting the match from the 911 center.
Yes, sir.
That's done.
And in that 911 center, those repeater stations that you asked for.
In the high schools.
In the high school, it's included in that $1.6 million. And there's also, there'll probably be some money left for the commissioners to come up with 911 related stuff. My suggestion was, I know that we talked about handicap accessible vans.
Right, correct.
We could, and I've already checked on this. You can get them for your E911 department, work out an interdepartmental transfer
right
with social services.
That's right.
Where both departments can use them. And
we need that.
That will help save some off the general fund balance. So, I mean, that's all. That's just a suggestion. I think that'll help meet our needs, and we won't have to go in fund balancing. It'll save money all the way around.
Okay.
Third thing, this has been the big one that I've been fighting, and that's funding for the animal shelter. Did have the opportunity to sit down and talk with our state senator, Senator Hennig. Also talked to our U.S. Representative, Don Davis, and got a chance to talk to the office of Senator Tillis. Expressed the need. They are all for it. They support it 100%. But we've got some homework to do. They want us to find a model that is a little bit more economically feasible. Secondly, you know, ID the price point and get the proposal with a budget. If we get those things in place, they will push trying to help us fund that animal shelter. And I think that's going to be critical. I know that our finance officer, we have some plans that Terrell County did one here recently. Also, Commissioner Trent has a plan. I think we need to look at those plans and get a price on them. Whichever one is feasible, that's the one we go with. I hope that makes sense to you. I know I'm going pretty fast, so just slow me down. But I think they want to do it, but they just don't want to do $1.3 million. So that's, I mean, that's just what it is. Item four, Golden Leaf has some disaster relief funds available. And my thought process was the gym at Southwest, if we could get that rehabbed, submit a proposal or grant funding for that. I think that if we can get that going, we'll have room for our recreation department and our seniors. They'll have the space that they need, and they have the storage that they need, and they have the office space that they need, if we can get it. But just want to make sure, I checked with the county manager, but still want to make sure that it's okay to apply. I don't want y'all going to a meeting somewhere seeing Bertie County apply for something. You don't know anything about it. It's better to ask than to just go ahead and do something. And then, you know, it comes back and gets you in the face. So those funds are available. But if it's something we're going to go for, no match requirement, just need your okay and your blessing.
I mean, not apply?
Not apply yet, but I'll get busy.
You said they're disaster relief funds?
Yes, sir. Any type of water damage, or I think you have some mold litigation problems in there and things of that nature. And okay, it's rare that they have, or that they got a strict criteria for what they fund. So so if it's available, we ought to at least try.
Yep.
Next thing is housing. Attended the USDA housing seminar in Fayetteville with our state director. They had their person from DC to come down, dealing with affordable housing. We're looking at also three workshops we went to dealing with HUD funding. Just wanted to learn what we were going to get into, how we're going to get into it, what's the best position to be in. I believe we've identified two parcels of land. One was identified by Mr. Trent, the other by Commissioner Wesson, that may be available. In the summertime, it's hard to get everybody on the same schedule. But I think now things are dying down, kids going back to school, schools in session, colleges in session. It would just be just coordinating a meeting between the developers, commissioners, myself, and landowners and property owners. And I think the county will act as a conduit. In other words, we don't want to own anything. We just want to make sure that you build. The developer and the owner will work out whatever price it is.
Right.
And then based upon that, we're good to go. Workforce housing definitely needed in that Lewiston area. gone through that several times, and I think that that would be an ideal site for a wonderful housing complex that will help take some of the housing pressures off of those people who work in Purdue and those surrounding areas. Also, just got a call today from the Bell Group. They're another set of developers. So the word is getting out there that we're out there seeking for developers to come into Burgee County. There's an uptick in entrepreneurship. You got a lot of people who are doing startup businesses from home, you know, side gigs that they want to expand and all of that stuff. We're recommending everyone that calls us to the Small Business and Technical Development Center. This center is funded by the taxpayers of North Carolina. It helps to get entrepreneurs on the right track, help you set up your structure right. It gives you, and all of this is free, give you tax advice, how to set up your online. They've got online courses on cybersecurity, everything you need to know if you're going to deal with a business, especially if you're doing it through and by the internet, because a lot of businesses now are online, but they're going all over the world. Mideast Digital Inclusion Planning is going to be a monthly meeting held in Williamston most of the time, as far as we can tell. And we volunteer to be a part of that because I know we're going to need that plan when it's time for us to go for our B grant and business inquiries for August. In other words, businesses, companies that looked at Burgee County, there were four. The one that I submitted an RFP for, I want to recruit, was called Project Ella. They are a Polish company. They're from Poland. They like what they saw in us. They make batteries. They needed 10 to 15 acres of land. Their investment is $100 million. And you're looking at 200 jobs, 50 white collar, 150 blue collar. The only thing that I think might hinder us a little bit is the need for natural gas. I wrote up there, will you consider propane? So hopefully we'll hear something from them.
Well, we've got natural gas lines already running down Griffin Quarters Road and the runner down 308.
Okay.
Already.
So that spot back over there.
That spot back over there and that 308 right across the street from Purdue.
Gotcha.
That land over there comes down, then comes across. There's a horizontal board that goes underneath the street, underneath the road of 308, going down Griffin Quarters Road. It's already in there. There's also a natural gas line substation built on Griffin Quarters Road right now. Okay. And them extracting the methane, extracting carbon out of it. It's a direct pump station also.
We got another question for you. Is the power there, is that Dominion? We
got three-phase power, and we've also got the substation that's approximately a half a mile from Purdue going west that was completely revamped to handle all the issues that could come about by having 500 or 600 acres of solar fields, which are there already. And that was revamped about 7 years ago, 8 years ago tops. And the substation is already set up to handle more than what it's capable of doing. But all the three-phase wiring is in. Everything that is needed to do what they need to do is there.
Yes, sir. All right. Well, that's my report for month of July, August.
Yeah, I do have a question. We're going to go back to the animal shelter since you've made contact with all these people. How are we going to set this thing up? Somebody's going to have oversight. I mean, is going back to the assistant manager to have the oversight to get this done, to have a rebid, county manager, or what are we doing here?
Yeah, so I believe the last direction that we received was for us to determine what it would take for us to use a model like the one in Tyrrell County. And so, yes, our assistant county manager will lead that, and we're planning to have to discuss that thoroughly at our September work session about next steps. Yes, sir.
Okay.
All right.
One question for you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate
it. Next is going to be information technology updates by Director Joe Wilkes.
I want to say good morning.
Morning.
It's a privilege to be before you this morning. When I first took over as interim director in June, July of last year, and then officially in October, as a department, we have been very, very busy. So I wanted to kind of update you on some of the things that we are doing. One of the best things that's happened so far is someone that you've already met, Deshaun Clark, our new network administrator. I know you've already met him, but I wanted him to stand before you, kind of give a little bit of his background, just so you know about our department.
Good morning, Commissioner. How y'all doing today?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, like you say, we already met, but you know, my name is Deshaun Clark. I'm the new network administrator, started December. You know, a little bit about me. I'm from here. I'm from Atlanta, North Carolina. Went to West Bertie Middle School, the old early college on the back road that the new rebuild center has gotten. So, yeah, just homegrown. Graduated A&T in 2021 and got my own side business too, DC Technical Service, so repair computers. So if you need any computer help, let me know. But I'm just glad that I got the opportunity to put my skills to use for my county. And just glad to work with y'all and hope to see y'all again and help y'all wherever y'all need.
Thank you for myself. I just have to tell you, you've done an outstanding job from what I've seen. And quite frankly, when I hear you're from Orlando, you graduated from Carolina A&T, and you come back here to Bertie County to share what you've got. To me, that's a win-win all the way around.
Appreciate
so
that.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate that.
That shows integrity.
Thank you.
Yep. And Mr. Clark. Orlando, Lewiston, Roxbury, West Bertie. It's where my kids went to school.
Oh, okay.
Okay. My daughter went to A&T.
Wow.
Okay. Okay. Now she went to East Carolina to work on a doctor's degree. Oh. But that's awesome, man. You know, I can't do nothing but say, you know, thank you. Because so many kids find so many others. Adults, young adults, mm-hmm. not kids, find so many other places to be. So I said, thanks. And anything we can do to help you stay here, housing-wise, you know, feel free to ask. You know, John, buy and sell property that you can buy and sell houses. You know, we'd be glad to help assist.
I appreciate okay. that.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
So, and that was one of the things that I wanted in hiring a new network administrator. We had several applications. I really love Deshaun's personality. He's from the county. He's invested in the county, and we're really glad to have him as our network administrator. So I wanted you to be able to officially meet him. And also, while we're here, I know we asked for several things funding-wise in the budget. So I just wanted to briefly tell you what those things are, kind of explain them some, and show our appreciation for you granting us those things. The first thing was our network switch upgrade. I wanted to put this picture up just so you kind of see. In essence, a switch is basically a power surge strip for all of our internet computers and devices. So it's the switches that we currently have are about 10 years old. And because of their age, we're having a lot of issues. And it was really important for us to get that done. And we wanted to thank you for allowing us to be able to make sure that that happened. And the importance there is we want to make sure that the employees are able to focus on their job and not focus on whether their computer is going to work. So you providing us with that funding is going to help us to be able to do just that. And the new switch architecture that we're going to put in place will allow us to be able to manage those devices better. We'll know what's plugged in, what's not plugged in, and we can make sure that we keep the network safe.
And not to interrupt your flow, because you got a great flow going right now. We love you to death. You do a great job. And I'm so happy you put pictures up there. Because Dr. Mike White over here, at his age, didn't have computers of high speed. It really helps him have a comprehension of what is going on and why we spent that money on these things. So thank you so much, Mr. Wilkes, for what you do for us.
I don't know whether to say you're welcome or not, but you're welcome. So I did want to briefly talk about that. The next thing was our IT center employee training. As a department, in order for us to be able to move forward, we need additional training. In past years, we've gone to a conference that's held for the state, all local IT municipalities and counties, and we get a chance to interact with other employees and learn. But we need specific training that's going to help us to be better at what we do. So that was one of the reasons why we put that in the budget. We wanted to thank you for that because it's going to allow us to improve our skill set, we'll be more proficient, and we can better utilize the equipment that we are purchasing, like the switches that we just mentioned. And then the next thing is server virtualization. As a department previously, because of funding, we were only able to purchase one physical switch a year. We have 11 and 12 switches. So you can imagine how difficult it is to keep all of those up. And that being the case, we had a lot of issues and we're still dealing with issues as it is. And I put this in here kind of as a humor, but also to kind of prove a point, because they say dog years, 7 years to one human year. When it comes to technology, I think it's more like eight. So for one physical year, it's like 8 years of technology. Everything is outdated. Literally the next day is outdated by something new. And as a county, we want to make sure we have what we need to be able to function. So that server virtualization is very key in that. And I put these two slides in just so you'll kind of understand part of the server virtualization and how it's going to help us as a county. This is from 2023, and it just shows in this graph the amount of cyber attacks. They are on the rise. It's literally at a point where it's not a matter of if, but it's a matter of when. And this virtualization is going to help us to be better prepared for that. And then this next slide, it projects up to 2028. Cybercrime is really skyrocketing. And we want to make sure that as a county, we're prepared. So this virtualization is really going to help us to be able to do just that. And in essence, by doing what we're doing now with the virtualization, we're using a third-party company where we can host everything in the cloud. We don't have to have them on-prem anymore. And it's going to allow us to basically have all brand new servers for the same price that we were paying for one physical server every year. So our equipment will always be up to date. When new technology comes out, we'll be updated with it. We don't have to wait for a server to hit its rotation. Everything has what it needs, and we'll be able to manage it better that way. And it's also going to help with our security posture. Just like we talked about with the cybersecurity attacks, that virtualization gives us flexibility. We don't want to be in a situation where we have to pay someone for our own data just to get it back because they took it from us. That virtualization helps us to have a better security posture for that. And then department structure goals. I just wanted to kind of highlight where we're looking to go as a department. We want Deshaun to be able to focus on the network. As network administrator, we want to give him all the tools and the time that he needs so that he can make sure the network is where it should be and that we're safe there. And that will give me the time to be able to run the department, to be able to interface with other department heads about IT needs before they become needs. The goal is for our department to be proactive and less reactive. And Deshaun and I realize that our roles in serving not only our amazing citizens, but also our fellow employees, our county management, and also you as a board of commissioners. So we are here to help. We thank you for everything that you've done for us. And we look forward to being able to fulfill the needs of the county from a technology standpoint. And if you have any questions, I'm more than willing to answer.
Joe.
Yes, sir.
I'd just like to say, buddy, that was a well put together presentation.
It was.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah, I was able to journey with you as you,
I appreciate
you know, discussed it. And thanks for the pictures.
You're welcome. Yeah. You're welcome.
But that was well put together.
Okay. Thank you.
And we really do appreciate you.
Likewise. Okay. Likewise. Thank y'all so much.
Hey, thanks a lot, man. I appreciate you, bro.
Yes, sir.
Good job.
Thank you.
All right, next thing is going to be board appointments. Planning board, Ms. Gail King, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. And she is for the planning board. We lose a member on the planning board?
No, they're just, there's several vacancies, and this is one application that we receive in this district for Ms. Gail King. She's ready to serve.
Sounds good. We have a motion, please.
Second.
Okay, well, Mr. Robinson, a second by Mr. White. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Workforce development. There's two vacancies. We have a Ms. Karen Dameron.
Karen Dameron. Yes.
Okay, and that would be one vacancy taken care of there. Correct.
There is, and I, if and of course, I want to hear from you all if you have someone, but I spoke with Jenny Bowen from Mideast, and we do. She's in communication with someone. Her name is Heather Lewicki. You all might know her. She's the co-owner of Y'all Eat Yet, the popular food truck around here.
Right.
And she's also interested in serving, and she meets the criteria as well.
Okay. All right. So we need a motion, Reverend Karen.
So moved.
All right.
Ms. Dillman.
And is there a second? Well, second, Mr. White. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much. Motion passes. Next, consent agenda. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Was that just, may I have a motion for Ms. Lewicki also? So Jenny and.
Are you committed, though? I mean.
She is ready to serve. Yeah, she is. And we're working on getting the paperwork from her. But the urgency is that because previously appointed members have been vacant, they have really been urged. Jenny and the director, Brian Book, have really been urged to put some to fill someone in these seats. So since we have two people who are ready, it is my recommendation. Okay. Not only thank you for appointing Ms. Dameron, but if you would also appoint Ms. Heather Lewicki, that would be awesome.
All right. Ms. Heather Lewicki is also a second candidate.
So move with it.
All right. And their second.
Second.
We have same Mr. White. All right. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Consent agenda. Approved registers of deed report, July 2024. We have a motion on that.
So moved. I moved that with.
Second. Thank you, Mr. Balance. And Mr. White, I think you seconded that, correct? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Approved the 24-25 home and community care block grant for older adults agreement and funding plans. A motion on that, please.
So moved.
Thank you, Mr. Robinson. Is there a second?
Second.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Balance. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. All right. Approved budget amendments. Do we need to go over those?
The budget amendment is a register of deeds grant that they receive every year to update their books that are in the and she received the money this past Friday. So I'm asking you to approve it so she can move forward spending the funds.
So moved.
All right, we have a first by Mr. Robertson, a second by?
Second.
All right, Ms. Balance, thank you. We have a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right, approved project amendment.
Yeah, the project amendment is for the NCDPS grant that we received for the, it's just to put, get the project set up so that when we discuss it in September, the funds will be where they need to be to move forward with that project.
Okay. Is there a motion, please?
So moved.
All right. Balance. We've got Mr. Robinson as a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. All right. Discussion agenda D, reclassification position, Department of Social Services and Sheriff's Office. Would you like to speak on this, sir?
Yes, I would. I'm going to put on my HR hat here. And there are a couple of reclassifications that have been requested by our sheriff for the sheriff's office and also our DSS director, Ms. Director Daphne Little. So first, I will start with the sheriff's office. And so the first request is simply to do a little bit of cleanup. We have a couple of employees who serve as investigators for the sheriff's office. However, the actual title investigator has never been added to our classification plan. So it's simply adding the investigator position to our classification plan. That is the first request.
Okay. Is that what you were asking for, Sheriff? Okay.
Okay. Sir. The second request is to reclassify a deputy, which is classified on grade 65, to a lieutenant of patrol, which is on grade 72. And I'll go into the third one and then I'll just summarize them both. The third one is to reclassify a deputy, which is on grade 65, to a sergeant of investigations on grade 71. And the purpose of doing that, and of course, the sheriff can speak to it probably better than I can, but the purpose of doing that is to provide some supervision and oversight on the different shifts that the sheriff has.
Some balance within the shift.
And to add another layer of oversight, basically.
Yeah.
So again, that adding the investigator position, reclassifying the deputy to lieutenant of patrol, grade 72, and then a deputy from 65 to sergeant 71.
Okay, does anybody have any questions in reference to that? Sheriff, you have anything else to add to that? You're good with that, right, sir? Okay. Can I have a motion, please?
I make the motion that we accept the reclassification request from the sheriff.
All right. We have a first by Mr. Robinson. Can I have a second, please?
Second.
Mr. Balance, yes, a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Yes, sir. What's next?
Okay. The next one is we have a an office assistant 3 position that is currently vacant. So just to, before I get to the specifics, to summarize what's going on in the DSS, there are just a couple of positions that are vacant and they could better be used as a different position, which is where the reclassification comes in. So for instance, we have an office assistant 3 that is currently vacant, and Ms. Little is, she's requesting, and I'm recommending that it be reclassified to an income maintenance caseworker 1 position due to the increased need for additional staff for Medicaid medical transportation.
I'll make the motion that we accept the recommendation coming from DSS Director Delphine Little.
Okay, is there a second?
No second.
All right, thank you, Mr. Balance. We have a first by Mr. Robinson, a second by Mr. Balance. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
One more, Chairman.
Go ahead.
We have Ms. Little has also requested, and I do recommend, reclassifying a social work 3 position, which is on grade 69, to an income maintenance program administrator 1, which would be grade 72. And the purpose of that would be to, again, provide some supervision and oversight. This administrator would conduct annual reviews and be a resource to the 4 income maintenance supervisors.
Right.
Because currently they are supervising 29 IMCs. So again, the 29 IMCs report to the supervisors. The administrator would oversee the work of the supervisors and be a resource to them.
Okay. Can I have a motion, please?
I'll make the motion that they recommend they should be granted.
Okay. Is there a second?
A second.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Balance. We have first and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Next, consideration of community meeting room requests and rules.
Sir. In light of recent requests, it has been requested that this item be put back on the agenda. As you all know, what we're talking about is the community meeting room at the Cooperative Extension and Berkeley County Library. The current rules and procedures that have been put in place, established by the board, are for us to allow, of course, county departments to utilize that space, as well as state agencies, which, for instance, Berkeley County Schools, as well as healthcare agencies like the hospital. So again, in light of a recent request, it has been requested that this be put on the agenda to revisit to see if it's at the board's pleasure for that to be opened up and be more flexible to include other organizations. Okay. That being said, at this particular point, if we do that, it's just very important that we determine exactly who and when, where, cost, all of the specifics, so that there's no confusion about exactly when it can be used, how it can be used, and who can use it. Because as soon as we, open it up, as we've seen with the senior center, we get requests all the time, various requests to use our spaces.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I'm a motion, please. So we open this up for communication again, as far as consideration, as far as the media rules. Requests or motion, please.
So move. Second.
All right, we have a first and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Can you get that on the agenda for work session?
Certainly. Work session in September.
Uh-huh.
Yes, sir. Only
if we've got room. If not, we can do it on the 9th. I don't care. It makes no difference. Or is it the 6th? I think it's the 6th.
We have a meeting on the 9th. The work session is about 2 weeks later in the month.
Okay.
The 23rd.
Yeah. Okay. Whichever works. I don't know which one's filled up fastest so far.
Well, I think the reason it's coming up is because somebody wants to use it before the work session.
Okay. Yes. Sorry, I was going. Yes.
I didn't know that. So let's do it for the next meeting.
In terms of that request, because it's less than 30 days, I think it's just going to be important for us to solidify whether or not it's going to be opened up. Because again, planning has to take place. Again, the event is in September.
It's that weekend. This before the 9th. They would need to know this week.
Right.
Yeah.
I think this is information.
Yeah.
We're just now, that I'm just now getting anyhow. So go ahead. I meant, do we get to from here?
Well, I spoke to everyone about it. Last week, in reference to a request, I believe some of you were spoken to at the convocation, but again, it's just a matter if we're going to open it up.
Manager, that if we could agree to make one exception at this time until we do convene until we meet at the work section to discuss the way we're going to move forward with the use of the pillar. I think this one exception for the film festival would be okay.
Okay, who is this?
Okay, so Dr. Patricia Ferguson has requested to use the community meeting room for a red carpet event that will take place on this particular Friday night in September. And it is, as Vice Chair stated, for the Pecan Pickling Film Festival, which was also held last year for the first time.
Okay.
All right. Could you also explain why she's asking us?
Yes, sir.
Again, so let me make a. I was not involved in any of those conversations. Right, yeah, I'm asking these questions now. Okay. Right. I'm trying to get up to speed where everybody else obviously is already up.
Right. Okay.
So go ahead.
Yes. So Dr. Ferguson has requested this because last year it took place at Chief's Restaurant, which I think everyone's familiar with. Since that time, the ownership has changed. I believe the town is. Preparing to take ownership if that has not already been done so. And so that being said, I believe Chief is also taking some of the furniture out. Dr. Ferguson has some concerns about what will be left in there if something goes wrong, who will be contacted and that sort of thing. So again, the request is that she use the community meeting room from about, I believe it's from 4 until 10 p.m., I believe, on the Friday evening in September.
Okay, so basically we need a motion of will to make an exception on the rules, correct? Is that what you're asking?
Yes, unless the rules are going to change now. Yes, I will. Yes.
Before you make this exception, I just want to say, when you make an exception, be ready for more. And we don't have people to work this. We don't have people who are going. You're going to open up a different entity of who's going to work this event, who's going to clean it up all the time. We've had this conversation before about this same room and I love the Pecan Pickling Film Festival, and I just don't. Well, I won't be making a motion. Let me just say that. So, y'all go ahead.
Okay. Is there a motion on the table?
I'm going to have to so move it.
You're going to move it?
I'm going to move it that we make the exception due to the circumstances, and we'll revisit it when we can get it on the agenda. I'll second the motion.
Okay. I vote yes also. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Say nays.
Nay.
Okay, we've got one nay, three yays. Next Board of Commissioners meeting. Is that it for everything?
That's it.
That's it.
Thank you.
Next Board of Commissioners meeting is September 9th, 6 p.m. Commissioners in the commissioner's room. All right.
I won't be at that meeting.
Okay. Duly noted. Commissioner's report. Mr. Robinson.
I have two pieces of information. One, the Blue Jays had a great turnout on yesterday for going back to school for the kids. Kids were there grabbing their gear for going back to school, everybody there seemed to be very, very excited. You know, Judge Grant, Superior Court Judge, were there. We had a chance to high five. I had an opportunity to high five the sheriff. And we had, it was just a great time. And the other piece of information, I'd like everybody to join me Sunday that can at 3 o'clock on Commissioner Corey Ballas passed the anniversary at 3 o'clock at his church in Corain.
Thank you.
See you there.
Mr. Blake?
Not really a commissioner's report, but just back to school is Monday, August 26th. Hope everybody's ready.
Question: are you ready?
No, I'm not.
Now we got that clear. Mr. Ballas, you have anything?
None at this time, Chairman.
With the convocation this past week, and I have to say that it was outstanding. The school did an excellent job in putting that on. It's probably one of the best ones I've been to in a long time. I just want to shout out to the school system itself and all that. Next thing is public comments. Are there any other public comments? Sheriff?
Yes, sir. Just a quick second. I just want to come before the board and just say thank you so much for believing in our vision as we continue to try to put in place things that will help us to be more efficient and effective as the time go on. I will say that I believe that we are getting, you know, in much better standing than where we were. And I believe that as time continue to go on, thank you. And to county manager and everybody that plays a part in helping us to get where we need to get to. Thank you so much. Just continue to pray for our county, continue to pray for the family of Mr. Barnes. I'm sure that we have all heard about things that happened last week. We'll continue to pray for our sheriff's office. We have provided resources this week. We have had pastors in our county to come and just spend some time at the sheriff's office. It's just a resource. We are looking forward to working with the State Highway Patrol MAT program. I haven't got all of the details, just to provide those resources, because our guys also go through mental and emotional stress through things like this. So we do want to say thank you so much for your support to the Berkeley County Sheriff's Office.
Thank you, Sheriff.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other 3-minute comments? If there are no 3-minute comments, I need a motion to go into closed session under North Carolina General Statutes 143-318.11A346. And can a motion, please?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, we have a first and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Now in closed session. Okay. All right. Can I have a motion to come out of the closed session?
So moved.
Okay. Mr. Ballas and Mr. Robertson, second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. All right. We got two things we got to vote on. One is going to be the host agreement that has been revised, okay, and kind of a motion reference revisions, and also with the host agreement. All in favor? Or excuse me, kind of a motion, please.
I made a motion that we
move forward
with the
host agreement
the amendment and the.
Okay, and is there a second? And that motion needs to be just for the host agreement.
Right, host agreement.
No amendment on that, but the host agreement, move forward with the host agreement as presented by the attorneys. Okay, can you repeat that, sir?
I made the motion that we accept the recommendation coming from our county attorney on the host agreement amendment.
No amendment.
No amendment.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay, is there a second, please?
Second.
Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Yeah.
Aye. Okay. The next is going to be a convenience site that has an amendment in it. Okay. And I need a motion on that, please. And you will repeat anything that needs to be added to that language I just said or no, Mr. Attorney?
No, sir. You're fine on that.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Can I have a motion, please?
So moved.
All right. Thank you.
Second.
Balance, Mr. Robinson. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Okay. Does anybody have anything else? Ms. Manager, do you have anything, sir?
I don't. Thank you.
Okay. County Attorney, do you have anything?
No, sir, I do not.
I knew you guys would. So, anyhow, have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
All right, we have a first. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. White. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Motion's adjourned. Well, the meeting's adjourned.
Pretty big, gentlemen.